is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 191. The great thing about ebooks?
No more paper cuts!
Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
So gaming, tech, gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another episode of our podcast, folks. How are you?
Tired.
Oh, I'm excited.
I bet you are.
I did. I totally squeed. And I don't ever do that, but I did that today.
Oh, she squeezed. She squeezes to the night.
Stop it.
In the lightning.
Stop it. You're spreading rumors. And that's one thing. Well, no, we do. We do actually spread rumors on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use the short address, which is?
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one. And you can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@ESH.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, subscribe.
Yeah, bitches, really.
Press the button. It's free. We're funny.
And you'll get like a new episode every Monday.
And it doesn't hurt your mom.
It doesn't. It totally, we're good for your mom.
Well, yeah.
Well, more than likely.
We won't kill your mom.
We will not harm your mother.
Yes, that's disclaimer. No parents will be harmed during
No parents have ever been harmed during the recording.
No, immediately after.
We can't talk about that. We can't. The court order says we're not allowed to talk about that.
Anyway, so if you're not doing that, subscribe there. If not, you can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine. And you can also listen to some great shows coming out of the ESH camp.
That's right. You can check out shows like the Boston Bash Brigade. They've got new episodes every Tuesday, and it's hosted by our very own King Baby Duck and Blue Onyx, who I had the pleasure of meeting last week at PAX Eats. It was awesome! But then you can also, on Hump Day, listen to a new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, which is hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. So right there, boom shakala, we've got you entertained all the way to Wednesday with podcast goodness. And then to finish out the week, well, like she said, there's the stuff that's on our website, the stuff that's on our YouTube, pictures on the Flickr. I mean, we're all over the fracking internet. Just make sure that you check out ESH.mobi/socialize, and bam, you can get all the links to all the goodness. Our Twitters, the Facebook shit, I mean, everything is on the internet. My life is digital.
I like that song.
Come be a part of it. Yay! So with that, I think we ought to go ahead and jump right into the episode. Because one, I'm hopped up on sugar and happiness. So now is a great time for recording. And two, I love video games.
Yep, so she's a big, bawling sunshine of happiness. And I just came off of work and
grocery shopping. So you're a little tired.
So the roles are reversed, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. I sat on my ass all day and you went to work.
I sat on my ass at work.
Well, yeah, that's true. So see, it wasn't that difficult.
No.
But we do have some things to talk about. So I'm going to get the video game stuff out of the way because we do have a tech gadget thing to talk about. And I'm going to give the mic of 1,000 truths to you first, so maybe you can get your mojo working.
Probably won't happen.
Maybe I can infect you with my sugary awesomeness.
Do not infect me. That's gross.
Okay, how about I project then unto you my feelings of awesomeness and happy bliss?
You can try.
Okay, I will do that now.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Forgot to take the safety off.
Bad.
Okay, I'll try that again. Did it work?
I'm feeling a tingle, but that's just because my foot's asleep.
Oh.
Anyway, guys.
Well, I tried. Fuck it.
Yes, I know. Good
go
job.
Go ahead. Do your thing. I'm going to play with my iPad.
All right, go right ahead. So, ever since I entered the land of adulthood, gaming has been very minimal, if any.
Oh.
And I've now taken kind of a shine to immersing myself in the gaming Portugal. Portugal gaming, you know, portable gaming.
Oh, I get it.
Portugal, get it? Yeah. Aha. Oui. My French is strong, yes?
No.
Jerk. Anyway, so, and my job requires that I'm not allowed to bring my phone, though, granted, I do, and it's just on silent. But if I feel like
You need to not say shit like that on the show.
Nobody from my work listens to
you this. Don't know these things.
No, I do.
No.
I do. Regardless of that, I do bring my DSi with me to work now. So during my breaks, I can do some type of gaming. And I've kind of been on a shopping spree since I now make money that I can now, in fact, spend. And I bought several DS games within the last month. I got the new Miles Edgeworth game.
Okay.
Not that it's open because it's still in plastic, because until I beat one of the two that I've already opened, I'm not letting myself open that one.
Okay.
Makes sense. I also got Elite Beat Agents.
That's a good one. I really enjoy that game.
Thanks to a Mega 64 spoof on it, I was like, I want to play this game. And I found it used at a GameStop, and I said, okay, mine. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks,
and then
Mike.
The most recent game that I just bought was Pokemon Soul Silver, which if you had listened to the OLR special that they aired over at All Games, I think about a week or so ago, maybe a week and a half ago, I talked about playing some of that over at the small, very small Nintendo-ish booth at PAX East.
Mm-hmm.
Just because a lot of my friends seemed to be playing it a lot and they were always talking about it and they're all, you know, Pokemon masters in their own mind. And I'd played a couple of games. I wasn't immersed into the universe like most of them were, but they all had these weird speedometer things.
Uh-huh.
That apparently you get with the game. And I was just like, what does that do? You know, and apparently Pokemon Soul Silver and Heart Gold are remakes of the original Silver and Gold.
Right.
That just a bit ago. And I think with those games, they'd introduced the aspect of a Pokewalker, where you would take your Pokemon, put one or, you know, I think there's an option later on to put one or two in this thing, and you walk with it. So Nintendo doesn't want their gamers to be fat and out of shape. In fact, they want you to be the ultra human and be able to play games and master them, be physically fit and a Pokemon master, which I mean,
gotta catch them all!
Literally. So I mean, it had great reception then, so why not redo it now? You know, for the DS, you know, though it's weird since they just released knowledge about the Nintendo 3DS thing.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
I don't get it. I don't even dare try to understand what is going on in Nintendo's mind for that. But whatever. But I played Heart Gold at PAX East and I thought it was kind of interesting. And I mean, I found myself remembering all my old, you know, my old not necessarily tricks, but remembering certain aspects of the game that I really liked. So with my check, I went and bought Soul Silver. Some of my friends have Heart Gold, and believe it or not, the Pokemon that you can get in Heart Gold are, I mean, there are staple ones that you can get throughout their games, but there are certain Pokemon that you'll never encounter in Heart Gold that you will in Soul Silver.
Okay.
So it's kind of good if you have one and a friend of yours has another so that, you know, if there's a particular Pokemon that you want that's not in your game, chances are it's in the other's game. And,
okay.
So, I mean, it promotes cross, you know, cross chat, which, you know, is available on the DS, which I was unaware of until the other day when I linked up with a friend. And I'm like, why can I hear you? I wasn't expecting that, especially since I haven't done it before. But anyway, you guys know the basic Pokemon story. You're a boy or a girl, you're young, your mom's like, okay, it's time for you to go on an adventure, bye. I'll save your money, sort of, and buy things randomly that you probably don't really need, but I'm your mom and I'm going to do it anyway. And you travel, let's just say, Japan.
Okay. Japan.
You're, you know, from a rural back, well, not backwater, but a rural forest city up to like a really big city to like the championships when you're like the best, you know, ever. You have a rival that you can name. It's really funny because I didn't realize in this game you could do that.
Okay.
So I didn't. I left it blank. So the computer just gave him a name for me, which I was like, I didn't realize that, but I should have known. I've already played about 16 hours, which
okay.
You can imagine on a small screen.
That's kind of got to be hard on your eyeballs.
Well, since I stare at screens all day, you would think that this wouldn't be an issue, but believe it or not, it is kind of. But I really enjoyed it. And now I remember why I liked portable gaming so much. I mean, I think the most current portable that I can remember really having was the Sega Game Gear. And I remember you had one first, and yours was the ugly gray one.
Yes.
And I tried it. And then I got the blue one. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, though I think most of the games we had to share anyway. So it really wasn't that much of a triumph, but still. And I mean, after that, I really didn't immerse into portable gaming. And I mean, when the DS came out and the DS Lite came out, I was still like, I don't know. I thought maybe I'd do the PSP route. And then I realized that that wasn't going to fly. And then I picked this up and I haven't been disappointed with my DSi since. I really haven't. So, and this game just made it that much more enjoyable. Now, granted, I've also been playing alongside this Elite Beat Agents. I'm not very far into it because I just opened it yesterday. But, you know, for someone who likes rhythm-based games, you know, this is fun. And, you know, you can get caught up in the songs if you know them. Like, so far, I think I've played through, like, not seven, but, like, between, I'll say six. I've played, like, six songs, and I've only known, like, two of them.
Okay.
And apparently a lot of the fallout about that game is a lot of people were hoping that they'd actually put the actual artist who did the song. So, like, it would actually just be the artist's song, but they've actually had to do covers, which I'm sure is a, there was an issue with that, getting, you know, artists to agree to let their music be played, you know, in this type of simulator. So, whatever to you guys. I mean, whoever did the covers, you guys don't sing bad, so it's not like, oh my god, I don't want to play this because you sing horrible. But it's let me realize just how much my hands don't have rhythm.
Okay.
Which it's really funny.
Do I have to take away your black card?
No.
Okay.
It's just, well, I mean, some of these have been, you know, very old Caucasian songs. And you think that I would know these, but half of them I don't so far. And I'm like, what the hell? I just don't know the beat. Like, at one point, there's a cover of Avril Lavigne's Skater Boy. I got a perfect on that. But then again, I also went through that weird, awkward phase where I actually kind of liked her. So, yeah. That's
Avril's pretty cool. I like Avril.
Sometimes. She's a hair miss.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I mean, so I hit that one. But then there was this one song that I think it was Makes No Difference. And I don't know who sang the original. And my timing was just off on it. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, I'm not usually that bad with rhythm. You know, but then again, when I look at all the rhythm-based games I've been playing lately where I've had, you know, a giant guitar with buttons on my hand, you know, like I'm not holding a small stylus and just having to tap on a screen or, like, follow the trail, you know, or, you know, well, yeah, that's essentially the mechanics of that game, actually. So I'm not very good at that yet. And I'm playing on the easiest difficulty. So from what I've seen on YouTube, you know, of people who have just been playing super, super hard, I'm like, I don't think I'll make it. But it's okay because it's still fun and I like to try, and trying's not bad. And
no, games that make you try are not necessarily bad. Like, if a game just lets you breeze through it, there's no challenge at all, I find at least, don't enjoy it as much. Because, like, well, that was a waste. I mean, you want some challenge. You don't just want it to just be easy.
Yep. So, I mean, so I've been doing that. And one other thing that I'll bring up, everyone knows I have a PS3 now, and
I thought you were gonna say everyone knows I have a penis now, and I was gonna be like, "What?"
Yeah, I just got it attached, and
how's that working out for you?
And it's huge. I have to like tuck it behind my leg.
Oh, man.
When I walk. And people call me tripod sometimes when I'm taking a break.
Now, did you get that thing on eBay? Or was that the one from Craigslist?
I got that one from Craigslist. The one I got from Amazon, I had to send back because it just wasn't big enough.
Gotcha.
Because, you know,
you
girls
don't have... You know.
Anyway, but as everybody knows, I've had a PSD for a while now. And I think I've probably talked about this a little bit before, you know, about how games that are, you know, that have copies between the PS3 and the 360, I don't understand why I'd even get those. Like, I'd want to get exclusive games for each console and keep the games different for each console. You know, like, I wouldn't want to get Final Fantasy 13 for the 360 because I already have it for the PS3.
Right.
If they had made, you know, like, if they had made Final Fantasy 13 PS3 exclusive, and then they went and made, I don't know, like, Gears of, like, well, they did. Gears of War was an exclusive solely for the 360. Like, I don't understand the need to have a game that's cross-platform. Why people, like, certain people will have both copies of both games. Like, they'll have the game, but for both consoles. And I don't understand people's fascination with that until fairly recently, which is my point.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, because there are definitely some games that I know are now available for the PS3 and the Xbox 360, and I wish that I had them on both. The PS3 version, because there are either additional levels on it that aren't available on the Xbox 360 version, or graphically it just looks superior. But every time I get a trophy for something in my PS3, I wish that it was gamer score points for my Xbox.
You know, and I haven't fully understand. I don't understand the need. Oh my god! So my number just got bigger by like 100.
Except for all the razzing you gave me when your gamer score got bigger than mine.
Well, that's also because I haven't had my 360 as long as you have.
Well, I haven't played my 360.
Well, yeah, that's. I think that's the point I was trying to make.
Oh, I get it now. Please continue.
And actually, now that I think about it, I think I have more trophies than you on my PS3.
I'm sure you do.
But that's the only reason why I would bring it up in that regard. But there are some people who prefer to see their gamer score get bigger and bigger and bigger than trophies that they can't see right away. And I mean, yes, I understand that the trophies aren't like on my screen the minute I turn my thing on, but I know that I have them. Like, I already know I have a platinum in Heavy Rain, and I love it. And I don't have to see it every day to know that I have it. But getting back to the point of having a game for both, you know, the same game for both consoles, I did just recently go and get a used copy of Res 5 for my PS3, even though we already know that I played the fuck out of it on my 360. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why I bought the used version for my PS3 was, one, it gives me a reason to play it again on with HDMI cables, which is really nice. Also, they just released those two additional chapters that I think I talked about a couple of shows before.
Mm-hmm.
I just went and bought those, you know, and it's giving the game replay value for me.
Okay.
And it's funny because the replay value is coming for a different console, which I think was the interesting point of this whole conversation. You know, I could have easily went and bought, you know, Microsoft points and bought it for my 360, but I felt it was just a lot easier to go through my PS3. Not to mention, I can go and get trophies for Res 5 now instead of a gamer score, since I pretty much already got them all. So I guess it's a different type of whoring, really.
Yeah.
But anyway, I went and did it. So now everyone who was like, oh, Panda doesn't understand, I get it now. I still think down in my core, however, I won't do this for every game. Like, I wasn't going to get Modern Warfare 2 for the PS3. I already have it for the 360. That's perfectly fine by me. I'm pretty much going to stick with exclusives for each console. So anything that's strictly exclusive for my 360 is obviously going to stay with my 360. I think it would have to be a very special circumstance or a game that I really, really liked to see myself buy two copies of the same game. I think overall, in a sense, I feel like it's like a little too much money.
Okay.
Not for Res 5, but I mean, in general, like, if I went and got, you know, Final Fantasy 13 for my 360, I think I was just burning money, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. So I was just talking about that because, you know, that's what's been on my mind. And that's what I've been playing. I haven't done much else. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's cool.
And we have a question.
We do? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We have a question. So before you go into your, oh my God, I love my iPad. I figured that I should probably just, was that a good impression?
That was pretty close, actually.
I thought so. That's how we know we're related.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got a listener question that I'm going to read right now. And then we can, you know, answer it. Since that's what you do with questions, you know, they ask, you answer. So this came from Emmanuel Bennett. I believe we're following him on the Twitters.
On the Tweeters.
And if you're not, I know I am. Fresh love. Anyway, so here's this question. Hey, I listen to the show every week and I really enjoy it. You guys always name these other shows who you are affiliated with, but unfortunately I have a Zune.
Yep.
A Zune. One of the seven people with one. Will they ever become available on the Zune marketplace?
Okay, so here's the deal. I can't speak for Boston Bass Brigade or for Geek Aggro. And I'm not exactly sure which shows on the All Games Radio Network are available on ZuneNet. But I know that we're on ZuneNet because I got an email from ZuneNet like a couple weeks ago. They're like, congratulations, your show's on our thingy. And I was like, oh.
Wait, we're on its thingy? I don't feel anything.
Well, I don't want to.
Is it that small?
I don't want to call Microsoft's thing small.
Oh. I thought Zune was,
Microsoft Zune. It's their little player that's supposed to be like an iPod, but.
Oh. Dude, that sucks.
Yeah. And for those of you that got that reference,
you're
that's
awesome.
Why we love you. But our show, Electric Sisterhood, is on ZuneNet and is available. I'm not exactly sure when the Boston Bass Brigade will be available on ZuneNet. But you can always go to their website. Each of their shows, they put a link directly to the MP3 in the post, just like we do. So if you're not able to get a hold of it that way, you can always just download the MP3. You should be able to grab the RSS feed from either of the sites and feed that into your Zune to grab the episode. I know it's a little bit of an extra what of work, but things are what they are just because everybody can't agree to what the format was going to be for submitting your RSS for MP3 multimedia craps, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, we're there. Hopefully, you can grab a hold of the RSS feeds for the other two guys shows and grab their MP3s that way to slap onto your Zune. That would be my recommendation.
Recommendation. Got it.
Get it? That's where I
got it.
I'm like, oh. Yeah. So there you go. That's how you do it.
So see, guys, how easy it is to write us an email and get us to answer it? If you write one,
We
will answer it.
Yes. Totally, totally will answer it. That's two questions asked, two questions answered.
So now I'm going to go take a spork and drill it through the side of my ear now while you go and decide to talk
to me. Oh, don't be like that.
See, I got one right here. So go right ahead.
No, don't mind the same. Don't be like that. It's not that bad.
Oh, my God. If I had a frisbee right now, I would totally puku with a frisbee.
Don't.
If someone's done it.
I'm sure they are. But you can't.
They have. But yes.
You can't do that. That's not right.
Anyway, go ahead, sister. Tell everybody how magnificent it is.
All right. So I got my iPad today.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, any of you that know me, that have met me in real life or listened to any shows or read any of the things I've written on the website, you already know that I play for Team Apple. I've made no bones
about
this ever. Okay. I have multiple Macs in my home. I have multiple Apple devices in my home. I never leave home without my iPhone. I live La Vida Steve Jobs without the money, basically, because I keep buying Apple things. So it was inevitable that I was going to buy an iPad. The biggest struggle that I had was whether or not I was going to buy the Wi-Fi only iPad or the iPad with Wi-Fi and 3G. I did not wait. I got the Wi-Fi only one. I did get only a 16 gig one because I'm fairly sure, as Apple tends to do every time they come out with a device, that there will be a new device next year, just like they did with the iPhone, just like they do with fracking everything. So it wasn't really going to behoove me to get a big fracking iPad. I have got to say that I've only been playing with this thing for about 3 hours now.
Although only 3 hours.
Technically, I did get mine before the UPS guy delivered Leo Laporte's. So, suck it, Leo.
That's not very nice.
Well, he's not very nice. He didn't email me back. Anyway.
Well, because you were gloating like a greedy bitch.
No, I emailed.
Look at what I got. Look,
no, I emailed Leo like before E3, trying to get him to, you know, get us on a show. Anyway, I love Leo Laporte, but I got my iPad first.
So suck it.
Exactly. I gotta say, I absolutely, absolutely love this thing. It does have a little bit of weight to it. It is definitely thinner than the 3GS iPhones. So if you have one of those, it is absolutely thinner than that sucker. But even if you have small hands like me, it is still very comfortable to kind of heft around in one hand. So it's not going to weigh you down that much. I did an initial sync just to kind of get a little sampling of everything onto the device. The first thing that I noticed that I had to do differently than my iPhone with my iPad was in syncing first time email information over. If you have a MobileMe account, you really need to go through the interface and set your MobileMe account up that way. If you just sync the settings over from your mail application for your MobileMe account, it won't actually turn on the ability for you to set up the MobileMe syncing of your contacts and calendars and whatnot. It'll just bring the account over as a regular IMAP account without that ability. So you definitely want to make sure that you go in through the interface and add your MobileMe account. So that way you can turn on whether or not you want it to sync your bookmarks, your contacts, your calendars, which I don't know why you would get the device if you didn't want to sync those things over, because those are some of the more interesting and really helpful applications of the damn device. For people that are like, well, you got stuck with the Wi-Fi only one. Now you can't get on the internet when you're away from a Wi-Fi hotspot. Well, I'm never going to be away from a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Yeah, she never is.
All the places that I travel pretty much usually always have Wi-Fi. And for the ones that don't, I have a Verizon Wi-Fi. So I have Wi-Fi when you don't have Wi-Fi. And the best thing about it is I don't have to worry about being on AT&T's network for it. So that's the reason why I went with the Wi-Fi only and didn't wait for the 3G one. I do like the fact that for the one with 3G, that the deal is a no-contract deal. So you can basically month per month decide whether or not you want to continue to have the 3G plan or not, and that you can change that plan at any point in time. So if you know, for instance, February is a short month, you may not ever be away from your Wi-Fi at all. You can just be sitting and chilling on the 250 megabyte information plan. And then if that turns out to not be enough for you, then you can, rather than just paying the $15, give AT&T $30 a month and go unlimited with that shit. But I didn't want to be stuck on the AT&T network, so I opted to not do that. Let's talk about the device.
You talk about it and I'll just stay quiet.
Oh, no. You need to watch the videos. I have to tell you.
I don't want
to
watch the videos.
Well, you're going to watch them. And you're
no, I'm not. Them. I'm not going to. And I'm not going to like it either.
I guarantee you in 2 weeks you'll be buying one.
Actually, with my next check, I
plan. Gotcha, bitch. All right. So here's the deal. I am an avid iPhone user. I probably spend maybe 80, 87% of my day actually on my phone, either digging through emails, digging through contacts, setting things up in my calendar, playing music, especially when I'm traveling. I love this device because the larger screen allows me to really enjoy video and textual stuff. I mean, the scalability of this thing is ridiculous. I thought that mail worked really well on my iPhone. The interface for email just makes sense on the iPad. You know, I have a list on the left. Very much reminds me of how mail is set up on the Mac, where you have all of your inboxes and mailboxes on the left. And when you click on one, you see its contents on the right. Well, that's the way it works on the iPad. So I can move things around and shove them into other folders. I can make selections very quickly of what I want to either file away in a folder from my inbox or just get rid of entirely. I still have my Zoom capability, so I can make my text very, very large and comfortable for myself. I was even sharing this with Eshmom over the internet, yes, through our Macintoshes, and showed her the text Zoom, and she was really impressed and could read it, even with a really nasty glare coming in from outside. To give you an example, that was really pleasant.
Sorry.
The book application looks great. And what's really neat is that when you download the iBooks application, you get a copy of Winnie the Pooh. So you immediately have a book that you can actually go through the application with and really start to appreciate what reading a book is going to be like digitally.
You know, isn't it just like reading an actual book, only you don't get paper cuts as much?
You don't get paper cuts as much, but you also get to change, you know, the size of the font. You can search through the book. If there's a word in the book that you don't understand, everything is selectable so that you can actually look something up in the dictionary. And I think this is something that's going to be really, really useful, especially for people sitting in college classes. You know, think about how many times you went and you needed a book for class, and you couldn't either find it at the library because somebody had checked it out and hadn't returned it, or you were unable to just flat out get a copy of it and they had to order it for you. Now you can get it digitally. You can scale it.
That is the dream. I don't know if that necessarily will be the case right away.
It's going to be the case. Just so you know, it'll definitely be the case. And what's really interesting when you're sitting in a book is that when you rotate it, if it's in portrait, you have the one size page and you can increase the font or decrease the font. Towards the bottom of the page, you can actually jump pages and you can actually see what chapters you're in and the first lines of things that are in there. So you can jump, you know, right to a page. But as I make the text larger or smaller, it actually reflows the book. So any imagery that was associated gets moved.
Ooh, okay.
Which is really nice, along with my content, which is great. I actually have built into the book the ability to control the brightness of the screen. So, you know, if I'm using this on a plane and let's say it's a night flight and everybody around me has started turning off their lights, well, I can bump up the light in my book to make it easier for myself to read. Or if I'm outside, I can bring it down to give myself some better contrast. And very easily, I can then jump back to the table of contents or I can set bookmarks for myself and go right back to where I was, which is great. I can turn a page slowly or quickly. And to give you an idea of the kind of detail we're talking about, if you flip a page slowly, you'll actually notice the reverse reflection basically seeping through the page of what was on the page before. So it's not just a blank white turn. A lot of thought went into the aesthetics. And it feels like a book. When you turn it landscape, you'll get two page up. And so you feel and you can read this book as if you were reading, you know, a bedtime story to your kids, which is really cute, I think. So I'm really looking forward to doing books on here. I'm more looking forward to comic books. DC, please, 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 please make an iPad app. Marvel already did.
Yeah, but that's because Marvel was bought by Disney.
Yeah, I'm just saying the Marvel app is up. Need to buy a bunch of comics. You know, if you love X-Men, Spider-Man, Hulk, Captain America. but all the Civil War crossovers are available, and it has cover flow in the Marvel application, so you can actually look at all the covers for the comic books. So if you're a more visual person, you can shop that way, as if you were looking in the stands in a comic book store.
Or at a porn store.
True. I am a little bit surprised, though, by one thing. While CoverFlow exists in a lot of applications that third parties are making, CoverFlow no longer exists in the iPad feature.
What?
Which makes no sense, because if ever there was an Apple device that really, really should have CoverFlow, it would be this guy, and it doesn't have it.
I'm sorry.
When you're playing a song, you can see the cover pretty much full-blown on the screen, but CoverFlow itself is gone. So, Apple, if you're up for a little bit of feedback, fucking bring back CoverFlow into the iPad, goddammit. It makes sense for it to be there. I can see a lot of people using this thing as just a digital frame for pictures. Ooh. Because it does have that feature, which you can use at any point in time when you're looking at your pictures, or you can do it even from the lock screen. I love that on this device you can actually lock your screen, create a passcode with it that is alphanumeric and not just numeric. So you can basically password protect your iPad unlock as opposed to coming up with a 4-digit PIN. So I use a similar password that I use on my computer to now passcode protect my iPad, which is great. So if anybody thought they figured out what my 4-digit was, ha-ha! Gotcha. No, you didn't. A lot of the existing iPhone apps do scale really well, both visually and textually. What I will say is one thing that iPad's going to be a huge game changer on is going to be on the video downloads that you get as bonuses when you sometimes will purchase an album in iTunes, because a lot of those videos were designed for an optimal resolution of 640 by 480. And they're going to have to scale up now. You know, the iPad itself does support a 768 by 1024 resolution. So a lot of those videos do not scale well at all, even in the H.264 codec. So that would be one recommendation I would definitely have. Safari is a little bit faster. I would definitely say the response time on the device is notably faster than the response time of my iPhone 3GS. Which is saying a lot, because my iPhone 3GS is pretty fucking snazzy. There's no camera. I'm a little disappointed in that, but I'll be honest with you. I expected it, because if it had a camera to begin with, then what really could you possibly add in the next version of the device?
Good point.
You know, so I think that Apple's going to kind of use this as a gauge of whether or not they really need to think about a camera being in the device. The answer is yes, by the way. But I think that that's one of the reasons why the device doesn't have one, and it would add a little bit more heft to the device overall. I'm looking forward to the New York Times application coming out on the iPad. Right now, as of when we taped, it wasn't available, but I'm definitely looking forward to reading the paper that way, because I love reading the Times on my iPhone. So being able to do that in the Wall Street Journal and Engadget on my iPad is just, I'm crazy excited about it. The as far as the social networking stuff, there's already a Twitterific, both a free version and a pay version, which allows you to have multiple accounts on it and gets rid of the ads for Twitterific for the iPad that is optimized for it, as well as the TweetDeck, which I had got TweetDeck and Twitterific for the iPad because for the life of me, I could not figure out how to open freaking links in the Twitterific version for iPad, and I've done every finger combination. It sounds so bad. I've done every finger combination of touching I could possibly.
You have?
On the iPad to activate.
Are you a fingering
link.
Master? Oh.
I'm not even going to answer that at all. But a lot of the games that are designed for iPhone, I'm just keeping on. But a lot of the games that are designed for the iPhone scale really, really well.
Master of the five finger technique.
I'm gonna get somebody.
Kung Fu Fingering Master. Yeah. Crane.
You know, I took a look at Monopoly earlier, it scales really well. The Uno game scales really well, even though they're creating a new version of it. I haven't played Flight Control on it yet, but I am going to be testing out Rhythm Ribbon and Rolando later on today to see if the accelerator, which is a little more responsive as well in the iPad than the iPhone, really makes a difference in these games or not. There is a dock now that is built in, and it looks more like the dock in the Mac OS X operating system than the previous docking space that you're used to on the iPhone. So I can't imagine that what I'm looking at on the iPad, and if you check out any of the videos on Apple's website about the guided tour topics, I can't imagine that what we're looking at right now is going to be the future of the OS for the iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad devices moving forward. It seems much more streamlined. It's definitely snappier, and I think that it's what Apple's going to be moving towards overall as what their mobile OS is going to be, and very well possibly could flavor into what their desktop OS will wind up being, which has me excited because I'll be honest with you, there are very few things about this thing that I don't like. There really are. Like, for what I had imagined using it for, which is basically going to be event coverage and being what I use my 12-inch PowerBook to do now, which is be my social media companion when I'm just hanging out on the couch. You know, I don't like taking my 15-inch off of my desk just to sit there and do Twitter. Like, it's a waste of what that machine can do. And so I got the iPad because I wanted something that I could easily carry around all the time that was a little bit bigger than my iPhone, that I could do, you know, my Twitter stuff on, my Facebook stuff on, email on really easily, and something that I could take when I'm covering an event and not have a big footprint and be able to do write-ups of stuff. You know, live blog things, which is something we've really wanted to do here at ESH for a while. The iPad allows me to do that. And it allows me to do that without having to bring a big fracking brick of power, take up 15 inches of space. I mean, I'm taking up 10 inches of space here.
10 inches.
And I'll be honest with you, the netbook companies and really Nintendo and Sony should be paying attention. Because mobile gaming right now
it's the new non-portable gaming.
It's portable, but it's portable. That's the thing. Nintendo and Sony really need to not be sleeping on this. I mean,
I have
a device in my hand that does a 768x1024 resolution game at 30 frames a second. They should be really, really worried. Yeah. Because some of these games, I mean, like, I haven't played it yet, but I bought the Civ Revolution game designed for iPad because it looks amazing. I will probably do more portable gaming on my iPad than I will on my DS. Because of my iPad, I will more than likely not buy a DS
a 3D. Yeah, you don't need a fatty. Don't need a fatty. Don't need a 3DS. I don't know where they're going with that.
I am not exactly.
You won't need it. Cast it aside. Be gone.
So if you've got the money, because, I mean, this is not a cheap toy by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
Okay, they do come in two flavors. Like I said, the Wi-Fi or the Wi-Fi plus 3G. The Wi-Fi plus 3G, they hope to have those guys start shipping towards the end of the month.
So the vanilla or the chocolate.
Okay, within that, you have three size choices that you can make. 16 gigabyte, 32 gigabyte, or 64 gigabyte. Starting price point for the 16 gigabyte one is $499. The 32 gigabyte one is $699. And the 64 gigabyte one is $699. And that's the Wi-Fi flavor only. In the Wi-Fi plus Edge, you want to factor about another $130 for each of those price points. So the 16 gig is $629. The 32 gig is $729. And the 64 gig device with 3G is $829. So pretty much the laptop that's not a laptop is $829.
Shit.
Yeah. So I went with the 16 gigabyte with Wi-Fi because that's really all I wanted and needed. You know, I've loaded up most of the stuff that I want to have on the device, and I still have about 6 gigs of open space, which is plenty for me to add things on the go. You know, I did buy the iWork suite because I do some presentation work and I do a lot of writing when I travel. And so it's going to be really nice to have a device that I can do that on pretty freely. Typing is actually very comfortable. Yeah, I really did think, you know, looking at it, that I was going to have the same kind of learning curve that I had when typing with my thumbs on the iPad, on the iPhone. But I have to say, on the iPad, it was very comfortable. Like, I still find myself looking down, and I think that's more just out of habit because I tend to look down when I type anyway. Not that I'm looking at my fingers of what I'm typing, but I'm re-envisioning whatever the sentence was that I just memorized that I want to retype. And so I'm seeing it in my head. So it's more of a habit for me, but it's very comfortable, more than I really thought it would be, typing on this thing. I got to tell you, I'm in love.
What else is new? You're always in love.
Okay. The fact that I can use one picture from my photo library as the lock screen picture, but use a completely different picture as the background behind my applications, displeases me so much. Like, you have no idea. I'm ridiculously happy. The feature of taking a picture, a screenshot of whatever's on your screen, is still there in the iPad itself. So if you want to show off and create a gallery, especially if you have one, definitely take a picture of what you're setting up as your iPad screens and ship them to us. You know the address, questions@esh.mobi. We'll put together a gallery and
do it up.
We'll do it up. You know, share and share alike. I'll be putting up some of my unboxing pictures on our Flickr account later on today. The App Store and the iTunes Store definitely look different on the iPad than on the iPhone. So both of these have been redesigned for iPad. I think that the App Store on the iPad is a little bit easier to navigate, mostly because there's more white space on it. But I do feel that it is easier to navigate the App Store on the iPad. Again, same thing with the iTunes application for buying music. I think that it's a little bit easier to navigate it, again, because of the use of white space and, you know, just how things are spread apart. It more mirrors what the current version of the iTunes application itself looks like. It just is an overall experience. You know, there are little touches at the bottom of both windows. Once you're logged in with your account, there are little welcome messages that welcome you by your first name. And they have some things thrown out of places that I check typically. Genius is available right from the start there. So depending upon, you know, purchase and Genius information that I've sent in, you know, it gets some things right and then it gets some things wrong. But that's okay. You know, they would be right. I would like, you know, Genuine, because I did back in the day, but not so much David Cook. So, you know, overall, my experience is great. I haven't had any issues. I had no issues on setting it up. I had no issues doing any of the updates for it. If you're thinking about getting one, if you live a mobile lifestyle, and you're already into iTunes, if you were thinking about getting an iPod Touch and getting one of the larger ones, just suck it up and get one of these things. You'll be so much happier with yourself.
I'm probably going to get one.
I mean, seriously, even YouTube is fucking awesome on here.
How awesome is it?
Well, the interface is a little bit different. Again, it's more of kind of like a wall of tiles. So you know how when you're looking at music videos in the tile view in iTunes, that's what YouTube now looks like. So you start off with a featured panel and you get to see basically the first frame of the videos that are there. So instead of seeing like the generic like little blocks that have the play button in them, you're like, oh, let me see what this video is about. Oh, it's somebody pretending to show me their boobs. That's not what I really wanted to see. You can actually see the frames. You can see how they're rated and their titles. You see what's available in HD, so you know what to stay away from. Then across the bottom, very much like the iTunes application, you have different sections, so things that are favorite, subscriptions, and you even have a link for your videos. So if you're logged into your account, you can go straight to your video channel and see your videos that are there. And you've got a search built in, very much like a Google search. So it's just a more, I think, easy-to-use or user-friendly interface on a lot of apps that we're already really comfortable with that we thought were pretty easy to navigate. Somehow Apple has seemed to make them a little bit more complex and simple at the same time. And I think that's what Apple does really well and what a lot of other companies don't do quite as well. You know, we're about to be flooded in the market with all kinds of tablet-type devices. Okay, there are going to be all kinds of pad, slate, tab-like devices that use a touch interface. But I think the thing that's going to set this device aside from those guys, and I'm not saying necessarily better or worse, because I think as more and more things come to market, they'll find one thing that they do so much better than another device. And that will spur, you know, these companies that do stick around to make their device even better and even better the next go-round. But I don't think that any other company does complex simplicity as well as Apple does. And I think that's why so many people are on the iPhone and so many people are switching to the OS X operating system. And so many people, you know, stood in lines today or pre-ordered today the Apple device. And like, you can't look at Twitter right now and not see somebody talking about the iPad, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent.
Well, that's why I haven't gone on Twitter.
It's every fucking where. But hey, I'm a happy camper because Pandora came out with an iPad app. I got Twitter. I got WordPress. I'm like in eighth heaven. So it's a buy. Okay, if you have a job, it's a buy. If you don't have a job, go to an Apple store and just look at it and drool. And make that the impetus for you to get a job.
I have one.
Then you need to just buy an iPad now.
With my next check.
So that's my gadget thing. Got an iPad. Fucking love it. Can't wait to order a case from Vaja Cases because I like Ecuadorian leather that I can custom make and put my gamer tag on. So I will be throwing down some pennies on that. But it is the only case that I'm going to get for the iPad because I've been told I can only get one case. So that's my gadget review. It is definitely a buy. It is very snappy. It immediately was easy to set it up to be the remote application to control my Apple TV. I had no problems getting it on the Wi-Fi. I had no problems adding my mail accounts. There were no issues in syncing. It was just a sweet, straightforward process like it should be. So I was really happy about that. On the game front news, I don't know if you were keeping up with it or not, but there was some issues with some DLC this week on the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 and Battlefield Bad Company 2 fronts.
No, I've had no idea. I haven't been able to play them, and I don't have bad.
Okay, so some people got the Stimulus Pack, which was a map pack that was put together from EA for Modern Warfare 2. And basically it ran about $15. I think it was like 1,100 or 1,200 Microsoft points or whatever. But the Modern Warfare is Activision, isn't it? Yeah, it's Activision. Yeah, Modern Warfare, Call of Duty is Activision. Bunch of people paid their money, started to download the map packs, and then they just wouldn't work. Or they glitched out like a motherfucker. Activision even though people called, wrote, trying to figure out what was going on, Activision didn't get back to anybody. Some people just thought, you know, so many people must have hit the servers and been trying to load these maps, but maybe that was the issue. Some people were having issues just getting the maps to actually successfully download. Major Nelson was on Twitter, and they eventually got it worked out later on in the day. And we're like, yeah, everything's working now. You can go ahead and get them. But it was kind of weird, you know, that it should have an issue. And then, like, literally later on in the evening, EA drops the DLC for Battlefield Bad Company 2, and almost an identical thing happens with their map packs. And so a lot of people felt, you know, hustled out of money or rushed in into a DLC pack that really wasn't ready. But, you know, basically they got stuck in a war between EA trying to stick it to Activision and Activision trying to stick it to EA, going, oh, I'm going to make my war, blow them up, kill people, backpack available before yours so that all the hype will be around my map pack. Well, maybe those map packs were not ready yet to actually be out amongst the people because they're still fixing glitches. So I've avoided both packs. I mean, because I love Modern Warfare. I really haven't played much Battlefield Bad Company, but I do love Modern Warfare, and I do want to get the additional map packs because I really would like to play other people that I know.
I thought you said you suck.
I do. That's why I said I want to play people that I know.
So you can suck in front of your friends? That's lame.
No, if you're going to suck, you want to suck among your friends, not among people you don't know.
Oh.
My friends know I suck, but they want to play with me anyway because they're my friends.
Or because they just want a full party.
They just want a full party and they don't care. But, you know, that's the thing. Multiplayer should be about enjoyment, okay? I am not very good at first-person shooters, but that doesn't mean that I don't enjoy the experience of getting together with a bunch of my friends who otherwise I probably wouldn't see that weekend to basically play the equivalent for me, paintball.
Those paintball thingies hurt.
Yeah, but see, playing Modern Warfare map packs with my friends multiplayer, nobody gets hit with a paintball that hurts.
No, but your avatar gets pummeled with bullets.
Yeah, but it's just an avatar. It's not me, but it can represent me in that it can carry my voice, and so I can have a conversation with a friend of mine who I haven't seen in years because they live in California, and we can play together. And it doesn't matter that, you know what, I'm pretty awful at it. We're still sharing an experience and getting to hang out where we wouldn't be able to hang out before.
Right.
You know, so I think multiplayer is great. I think that it has really, really changed the face of what community is and how big the community can be. Mm-hmm. You know, I think online multiplayer was really where the gaming community just went into this growth explosion.
Growth explosion.
And I think that's a good thing.
Explosion.
But, you know, on games that I'm really not good at, no, I'm not going to play them with people I don't know to be competitive when I'm not competitive. You know, I came into Modern Warfare late.
Yeah.
The first Modern Warfare, the first Call of Duty game I ever played was Modern Warfare 2. I did not finish one. I've only ever been with people playing one. I've never played one personally. Okay, I'm not a sharpshooter. You should not put me on your Modern Warfare team if you're going after trophies. But if you just want to hang out, talk a little smack, talk a little games, have some fun, hell yeah, I'm down and I'm in.
Well, you're down because you got shot in the face.
That too. You know, I think it's interesting that there seems to be so much more emphasis now being put on DLC, especially DLC that has to do with multiplayer. I think the industry kind of gets that multiplayer is really where it's at. But I think that with that same idea, you also need to make sure that your DLC is definitely one ready for prime time, that your delivery service for it is ready for prime time, and that the content is actually value added. Because if you don't have those three things on a consistent basis, you will not have consistent sales. And I would not be surprised if this issue with the DLC for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 and for Battlefield Bad Company 2, if that doesn't impede on future DLC sales. Because it seems like Twitter blows up. Whenever DLC goes wrong, all of the games...
Everybody and their mama has something to say about it.
Yes, and I find that most of those people do steer clear of the DLC that follows that particular title the next go-round because they don't want to get fooled again.
They don't want to get fooled again.
Don't. So we'll just have to see what that turns into. I don't know how much more DLC has been committed to for Modern Warfare 2 or Battlefield Bad Company 2, because I know other games are in the pipelines in those franchises, but we'll just have to see. I'm going to have to remind you that if you want to talk to us, well, it all starts at our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi, that's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one. You can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, subscribe!
Just click the button. And if you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can catch episodes of our podcast airing each week on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. The episodes air at about 5:30 p.m. No, wait. Yes, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, which is basically 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. So that way, you can catch in. Sometimes we pop into the chat, so you can ask us questions live-ish when the episodes are running for the hour that they're there. And then you can listen to some of the other really entertaining shows that are over at All Games, like Dead Pixel Live. Or OLR.
Or, what did you just say? You said OLR. Yep, I like OLR. And then there's Dead Pixel Live, and then...
Boy, you just were not listening, because I said Dead Pixel Live first.
I know, but I'm reiterating it because I wanted to. And then
you're reiterating it because you weren't listening.
And then there's in-game chat.
You know, Bobby Blackwolf's over there. We all know Bobby's the man. There's really, really fun stuff going on over at All Games. So make sure you check them out and that you tell them that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you. And you can also check out the stuff that we do in-house from our very own network. Which starts with the Boston Bastard Brigade, which has new episodes each Tuesday, co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. And then there are new episodes
of Geek Agro on Wednesday.
That's right. You got that co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. Right there, we cover all the gambits of nerd we can think of. There's stuff on our site. There's stuff on our Twitters. There's stuff on... We got shit all over the internet. Check out esh.mobi/socialize to find links to everything. The Twitter group, the Facebook group, the Flickr thing. We're everywhere. Damn it.
We're everywhere you want to be.
And now I do it all from my iPad. Yay! So
with her fingers.
I do. Inappropriately or appropriately. Up to you. I don't know. But what I do know is that I have something I need to disclose.
Go right ahead.
I own Apple stock. So, that doesn't flavor the fact that I fucking love the iPad, but I do own stock in the company. So when you buy them, I make money. So buy them, bitches. I want my stock to go up. For reals. So I can get a car. Panda, do you have anything to know?
I think I want to disclose that I am...
A midget?
No. I'm taller than you. Shut the fuck up. I think I want to disclose that I'm not wearing pants.
Oh. Really?
Yep. Yep.
That on the show. Really? Yep. That's where you went.
Yep. No pants. Woo!
Okay.
Feeling pretty good about it, too.
Wow. So, with that, again, I remind you that our email address is questions@esh.mobi. Send us your iPad pics. I want to see what you use for your lock screen and what you use for the background for your home screen.
You know, I'm surprised that people haven't asked me why I don't like to wear pants.
I'm not even going there. I'm going to pretend like you didn't say it. But what I'm going to say is, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm No Pants Pandalicious.
And we are out of here, folks.
Bye, everybody. Happy Easter.